reading to you from the third chapter of John, and with the 36th verse. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Well, 1 year later, God called me to preach, and he changed my whole life. I thought I was going to be a roofer until I died, but he had a different plan for my life, just like he has a plan for yours. Dear friend, you're not a zilch. You're not a nobody. If you know Jesus, you're in the family of God. He wants to use you, and he can use you. I don't care how unlearned you think you are. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to Acts, the 9th chapter and the 5th verse? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom there you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. We've labeled this message, Who is Jesus? You say, what are you making us? What do you mean, who is Jesus? Well, I'm asking you, do you know who Jesus is? Well, I know who he is. He's my Savior, my friend, my Redeemer. And I'll tell you, dear friends, this Jesus changed me completely 55 years ago. You say, oh, then you're perfect. Oh, no, I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. I'm born again. My sins have been put under the blood. My name has been written in the Lamb Book of Life. Now, if you don't know Jesus tonight, that can happen to you. Listen, Saul's searching question. Saul was passionate in persecuting the church. He honestly believed that he was doing God a service by beating up on Christians and closing churches. Oh, he was a rascal. Man. Well, he was at a bunch of names, and him and his group was going down to Damascus to pick up on some more Christians and put them in jail and on and on and on. But boy, Jesus confronted Saul on that road to Damascus. The Bible said a light from heaven, a voice speaking to him, and Saul's question, Who art thou, Lord? Well, the voice answered, I am Jesus, but who is Jesus? Well, he is the prophesied Savior. The first promise of a Savior came after the fall in Genesis 3:15. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will be struck by his heel. Well, friends, listen. The one is to bruise is a serpent's head. The one to redeem is a sinful race. Listen, friends, if it hadn't been for that stinking devil, you and I wouldn't have the problems we had today. No. My stars in the morning. Adam and Eve were put in a beautiful garden, and every fruit that you can think of and every animal, they had it made in the shade. And he warned them, he told them, you can have anything you want but that one tree. Well, you would think they'd be smart enough to stay away from that tree, but no. Eve was walking down through the garden one day, and she saw that tree. And gee, it looks so good. You know, friends, let me tell you the truth. Sin does look good to the eye. Oh, yes, it does. Now, if you're on a diet and you see a great big old piece of pie or cake, man, it just about tears you up. Well, she saw Satan and he said, hey, come on. He said, the Lord lied to you. As soon as you eat that fruit, you'll be as smart as he was. Now, let me tell you what, friends. Any time you doubt the word of God, then you are under the influence of Satan. Because that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to doubt God. And if he can get you to doubt God, he can take you to hell with him. Well, Jesus came to redeem a sinful race. Now, the prophets added their voices. Now, I read in Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Now, friends, let me tell you what. Listen to me. I have talked to so many people over the years who said, Cecil, do you really believe that tripe? What do you mean, do I believe that? You mean you believe that she was a virgin and had a baby? I said, I most assuredly do. That's the only way it could be, and that's the way it was, and I've accepted that, and my life has changed, so I'm going to have to hang on with it. Now, the Savior is to be God in flesh, and I read in Isaiah 9:6-7, to a child is born to us, and a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. Now, the Savior is to be born in Bethlehem, and we read here in, you know what, friends? It's kind of dark here in my studio, and my eyes don't exactly catch everything. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness and highways for our God. The Savior is to be born by John, who would prepare the way. That's what he said he did. A voice in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Well, a miraculous birth occurred in Bethlehem, and you read this second chapter, Luke, and you read the whole story. The Roman Empire was a part of the miracle and the taxing. Well, Christ was born right on time, Galatians 4:4-5. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, that he might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who called out, Abba, Father. Friends, listen to me. The day that God's Holy Spirit begins to knock on your heart, you're never going to be the same until you either say yea or nay. Now, the Bible said the Spirit of God will not always drive a man whereby man must be saved. The other night, I got a call from an inmate at the prison, and I said to him, I said, son, when you were to die, where are you going to spend eternity? Well, I kind of hope I'm going to heaven. And I said, but don't you know? No. And so I started sharing Christ with him. He was as dead as a spent firecracker. He had no spiritual eyes whatsoever. And you see, friends, when you close your eyes to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God cannot penetrate that. He has all power, but he cannot make you be saved. He will not make you be saved. The decision is yours and yours only. Your pastor can't make it. I can't make it. Your mama can't make it. Your daddy can't make it. Deacons, Sunday school teachers. You yourself have to make that decision. Well, the Bible said he was the crucified Savior. Every step Jesus took in life was toward the cross. Well, Isaiah said he prophesied his painful death for sinners. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God, 1 John 1:36. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Jesus revealed his coming death to his disciples, and boy, they didn't want to hear it. In Matthew 20, "We're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priest and the teachers of the law. They will condemn to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day he will be raised to life." Friends, why did he have to go on the cross? Well, he was a figure of forgiveness. Friends, there's nothing in the world worse than not forgiving somebody. You say, "What do you mean by that?" Well, I told you about my stepmother who used to beat me and abuse me and lock me in the basement. And I'm telling you, my friends, I hated her like you cannot believe. And she hated me just as bad. But the thing was, I had to forgive her. Now, Jesus forgave me when I told him, when I confessed. And think about this. When you confess that you're a sinner, and you ask him to come in your heart, and you tell him you're going to repent of your sins, turn your back around and go that way, then the Bible said he'll forgive you. Well, that's what he did. Now, even the dying thief on the cross found forgiveness. Oh, my stars, friends. He knew what he wanted. Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." This man was a thief. The other man was a thief. But the other man on the cross, he didn't repent. He made fun of God. He said, "Well, you've saved others. Jesus, come on down off the cross and save yourself." But the other one said, "Man, listen, we're here because we deserve to be." Then he turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom." What did Jesus say? "From this very day thou shalt be with me in paradise." My, my, my. Oh, friends, don't you realize that God loves you so much? Jesus knew he was going to go to the cross. When he was out in the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples even went to sleep while Jesus prayed. And finally, Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Oh, I'm telling you, friends, he did something that you and I couldn't do. Now you say, "Well, what if he hadn't have went to the cross?" Well, you and I'd be doomed and damned on the road to hell. He came to forgive the sins of the world. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, friends, if you've not been born again, you're lost. You're doomed and damned. As I've said so many times, I am not a hellfire brimstone preacher. I sure am not. But I must tell you both sides of the picture. God is a God of love, but God is a God of wrath. If you refuse him, the wrath of God will be upon you. That's the only sin that God won't forgive. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or rejecting God's Holy Spirit for the very, very last time. So remember, every one of us who come to Jesus will find forgiveness if we repent. That's what he came in the world. Now, but there's something else about this. He is our risen Savior. And his resurrection proved his deity. You know, when they put him in that tomb and put that big rock up there, they said, "Well, this is it. We finally got rid of that guy. No more talking about our sins. We're going to just have a good time." Well, they thought they'd done, and they even put guards there so nobody could get there. Ah, but the angel of the Lord rolled that stone away. And when Mary and them came and looked in the tomb, he was gone. Grave clothes was there, but he was gone. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty shout. Oh, friends, listen. If he hadn't have come forth out of the grave, I or no other preacher would have anything to preach. But this is our assurance. This proves the deity of Christ. His enemies thought they had destroyed him at the cross. But, excuse me, he arose And I'm telling you, it says, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise now. That's what he said to the thief on the cross. Well, he did that to you. Now there's something else I'd like to bring up. John 3:16, my very, very favorite scripture. For God so loved you and I that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means you. That means me. Well, because he arose, those who trust him will also rise. Oh, yes, it will. 1 Corinthians 15, but Christ has indeed raised from the dead the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Well, he's coming back. You see what he did? The empty tomb and the eyewitness was proof. And the transformed disciples and the enduring church. You know what? When he went away, he gave them the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, let me tell you what, friends. These were fishermen. They were men from every walks of life. And he said, I want you to go. Well, first of all, they dropped everything they had to follow him. I remember the day God called me to preach in Seattle, Washington, so many years ago, 54 years ago. And I could not believe that God would want someone like me to be a preacher, because I knew I wasn't perfect. And I knew that I didn't know too much. But I did know the most important thing. I knew Jesus. Who is Christ? He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my friend. He said, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. You know, when God called me to preach, I thought I'd be pastoring a great, great big old church, fancy church. Well, I pastored two churches. But I'll tell you for sure, that's not where God wanted me, because I am not a pastor. You say, what? No, I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. Now, I will tell you right up front, I think pastors have twice as hard a job as I do. Because they have to marry, bury, they have to... A pastor has a hard job. And if you have a pastor, my stars, you ought to pray for him. Oh, man, pray for him day and night. Because he gets discouraged. He, sometimes he thinks that maybe he's wasting his time. And maybe there's a long, dry spell where there's people not being saved. Now, that affects a God-called preacher. If he's really God-called, it's going to affect him. And he's going to be sad. Well, an evangelist goes out in the highways and the byways. We compel them to come in. We go in with the gospel. Now, there's not an evangelist in this world, beloved, that'll ever bring a revival to a church or any place else. We don't do that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And whenever you think you can do the Holy Spirit's job, I got a flash for you in a whole heap of trouble. Because you can't. Now, all we are as instruments. We're vessels that God uses. The Spirit of God lives in our heart. Now, there's those group of people who say that after you're saved, you have to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I got news for those dumb people. The day you're saved, God's Holy Spirit comes in your heart. Now, I didn't say that that you're supposed to be filled every day. God's Holy Spirit's so very important in our life. You know, when people get off the track and get living in sin, it's because they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. He wants to lead you where he wants you to go. Well, you say, but I don't want to do this. Well, then you're bucking heads with the Lord and you're going to win. Oh, no, you're not going to win. Well, it tells us in John 14, do not let your heart be troubled or be afraid. Trust in the Lord. In my Father's house, many mansion. Well, listen, he goes on and tells you all about it. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know some of you are afraid right now. And I'll tell you something else that I know. If you're a born-again believer, I don't care how old a Christian you are, whether you're 5 years old, 10 years, or 100, or 55, or whatever, he has a job for you to do. Now, don't let no one kid you. You have a job. Whatever that job is, friend, I don't know. Now, he doesn't call everybody to preach, but I'll tell you what he does. He calls everyone to be witnesses and soul winners. Read the book of Acts. It sure does. And we're to be witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem and all parts of the world. That part of the world is where you live right now. You don't have to go overseas to be a missionary. You can be a missionary right where you are, in your church, in your home. Well, Saul found out when Jesus was trusting him as Savior. Now, he didn't know exactly who Jesus was. He sure did not. And, like I say, he was out beating up on Christians, throwing them in jail. He saw them killed. Yes, he did. And he held Stephen's coat while Stephen was being stoned to death. But their day came. As he traveled down that road to Damascus, a great big light knocked him flat of his face. Boy, he was blind for 3 days. Now, the Lord told him to go back and go into the synagogues and temples to preach. Well, these Jews come there one night and they said, "Who in the... is that Saul of Tarsus? You don't mean... Oh, no, I'm not going in there." Well, Saul of Tarsus' name had been changed to Paul. And Paul had a message to preach, believe me. And you know what? Wherever he went, and you listen to this and you know it's true, wherever Paul went, he shared his testimony. You know what those preachers here, they kid me. They said, "Well, Cecil Moe will get his text and then he'll go right off to his testimony." Well, that may well be. But friends, there's nothing more important than a personal testimony. You tell a man I was lost. You don't have to be a drunkard to have a testimony, friends. You don't have to be evil. You just have to be lost. And the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have and I have. Well, when we repent of our sin and are born again, we are now children of the King. We're Jesus' kids now. And we're working for Him. And He wants you to go out and tell people. See, faith in Jesus will answer your questions about Him, too. Maybe you have some doubts tonight, but I'm telling you, friends, he wants to give you eternal life. You say, "Cecil, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I really kind of thought I was doing the right thing, and I'm going to church, and I read my Bible, and I pray." Have you been born again? That's what Jesus is going to ask you. Have you been born again? That means, have you repented? Have you invited Christ into your heart? If you're not, you're lost. It's a plain and simple. I can't get any simpler than that. But it's not God's will. Any man should perish, but they all should come to Jesus. Well, listen. Let's say tonight, you feel a little tugging at your heart. You know that something's not right. Would you like to bow your head tonight, right now, and open your heart and find Christ as Savior? If you do, bow your head with me, but oh, beloved, please don't pray this if you don't mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the very precious name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm repenting. I'm turning my back on the old way of life. And I'm thanking you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd wish you'd get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on air. I will not embarrass you. And I'll surely not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. You say, "Well, I don't know." Well, tonight, either you say yes or no. If you say no, you're in dangerous territory. Give me a call. Touched me. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, friends, if you don't know Jesus, you're bankrupt. You could have $1 billion in your bank and still miss heaven. You can carry a Bible around with you and still miss heaven. But you know, if you put your trust in Jesus, you're a new person. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. I know, because he changed my life completely, drunk as a billy goat. And an hour later, I was as sober as a judge, because I had my sins forgiven and Jesus lived in my heart. Well, listen, I want you to pray for me and my wife and our prison ministry. Pray for our health. My health has been kind of bad, but I'm still fired up for Jesus. He sure changed me, and I want to share it with inmates and men in rescue missions. Okay, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.